And welcome everyone to this Webster Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is new features in WSRR version 8.0 and migration scenarios. Today's presenter is Kailash Perry. Kailash is an advisory software engineer in the Application and Integration Middleware Level 2 Technical Support Organization. As an L2 support engineer, he is responsible for supporting customers worldwide on WSRR-related issues. He has been involved in L2 support for the past 10 years and the last 5 years with WSRR. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Kailash. You may begin.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone. Once again, my name is Kailash Perry, and I'm the team lead for WebSphere Service Registry and Repository Level 2 support team here in RTP, North Carolina. Today's presentation is going to cover the new features that have been introduced in WSRR version 8, and then we'll discuss the migration and upgrade scenarios from previous versions to the current version, WSRR version 8.0. So let's move on to slide number 2 for the agenda of today's presentation. Okay, this is the agenda that I'm going to follow today. First, we'll cover the new features that are introduced in version 8 of WSRR. After we cover the new features, we'll take a quick overview of various installation options that are available for you and the changes that have been done in the installation process from previous versions. Once we finish installation, I will cover details about migration and upgrade scenarios from previous versions to version 8 of WSRR. After we finish migration and upgrade, we'll open the floor for any questions and answers that you might have. Moving on to slide number 3, here is a list of new features that are introduced in version 8 of WSRR. First, you have dynamic installation guide. Then I'll cover the REST API enhancements, followed by the enhancements that have been made to the GEP model. And we'll talk about WSRR interaction with IBM Rational Asset Manager and the anonymous service level agreements and some business space enhancements that have been made in version 8. Moving on to slide number 4, first, let's talk about the dynamic installation guide. One of the new features that has been introduced in version 8 is the dynamic installation guide. What we have done is we have taken into consideration the input that we got from various customers about the lack of a single installation document in the previous versions of WSRR, where they had to like use the info center, jumping from one link to the other, losing tab of where they started. So what they wanted is, like the good old days, they wanted a one full installation procedure manual kind of thing. So the dynamic installation guide offers that choice. What you need to do is to access the dynamic installation guide from the main info center, select the top level WebSphere service registry and repository that I've shown as number 1 in the slide, and then select the installing section. Once you select the installing section and expand, the first option that is available is the dynamic installation guide. Once you select that, what you're going to get is a screen where you can select the various options that I'm going to show on the next slide. So let's move on to slide number 5. Here are the options that you're going to see when you select the dynamic installation guide. As you see on the slide, the first thing that you can select is the operating system that you want to install, that you can install Windows, Unix, or Linux. Just I want to let you all know, for all the ZOS users out there, that there is no option to create a dynamic installation guide for ZOS, because the ZOS installation process is entirely different from the distributed operating systems. And I am in the process of writing a blog and a tech note to cover this, because this is not available, again, in one step. And that's going to come out pretty soon, like, you know, in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And I apologize for not including that in this presentation, as I'm working with our development team on the nuances. So moving on with this, first thing is you can select whether you're going to do it on a Windows or a Unix or a Linux platform. Once you select the platform, you have the option to specify whether you're going to install a new WebSphere application server or you want to use an existing WAS installation. Okay? Once you select the application server, you have the option to choose your topology of your WAS, whether you want to install on a standalone WAS or you want to create a new cluster, or you want to use an existing cluster in your enterprise. And the same thing with a managed server, whether you want to use an existing managed server or a new managed server. Once you select that, on the right-hand side of the slide in the box, I have shown the options for the database that you have, okay? Whether you want to use a local database or a remote database, and the type of database server your enterprise is using. Basically, it's whether it's DB2 or DB2 on ZOS, Oracle or Microsoft SQL Server. And you can also choose whether you want to generate the installation guide using interactive tools like Profile Management Tool, which is available only on Windows and Linux platforms, or whether you want to perform a script-based installation. Once you select all these options for your environment, and when you click on Get Complete Instructions, what it's going to do is it's going to generate a comprehensive step-by-step installation guide in a new tab or a new window based on, like, another browser that you have set up for. Okay, let's move on to slide number 6. Let's talk about some of the REST enhancements we have done. Most of our customers have been asking for support with REST. So we have come up with a simple but very powerful REST enhancement. So this is nothing but a simple extension of the existing models, namely web services and SCA. So we have added only 3 new object types. Like I said, it's very simple. So we have added REST service interface, and REST service endpoint. And we have added a new tutorial in the GEP section of the Info Center showing how to use these REST services. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 7, and talk about the REST enhancements in further detail. Okay, here is the list of REST scenarios and object types that are supported. There is a REST service which can be used in exactly the same way that you use a web service. That is, the service object in the GEP model or an SCA module in the governance story. The same way you realize a capability version or a service version with a web service or an SCA module, you can do it with the REST service. So if you're conceptualizing and defining a business service and you're going to create a service version from this object, you will use the REST service. The REST service interface is going to allow for governance control of the interface definition without adhering to any specification. What does that mean? As you all know, you have standards for web service and SCA, but there are no standards for REST yet. So there is nothing in the service interface which describes a specification. And the last object is the REST service endpoint. Basically, what you would want to do is control the REST service endpoint just like any other service endpoint for a web service or a service endpoint for an SCA module. You can enter the REST service endpoint into the service endpoint lifecycle, just like any other endpoint. So you basically can take it online or offline, all the operations that you do with normal web services. And you can attach policies to any of the above objects. So if you want to define a particular policy affected by the behavior like quality of service, you can define it at the service level or interface level or endpoint level. But the REST services are not going to give you any further granularity like you do with web service or an SCA module for now. Moving on to slide number 8, let's talk about the gap enhancements. Because we have added the new REST model, the addition of REST to GAP is one of the things that we have done. So just to, like, you know, for supporting simple REST scenarios for GAP, we have introduced the new REST scenarios, and we have added them to the GAP model. Okay, so the REST service, service interface, service endpoints have been added to the GAP. And there are two new relationships that are there. One is called the bound REST services, and the other one is provide REST services. They have been added to the GAP model. Okay? Let's go on to slide number 9, IBM RAM interaction. So if you are, this is mainly for users who are using the WSRR Advanced Lifecycle Edition. There are configuration files that have been provided which will define the interaction between WSRR Advanced Lifecycle Edition and the IBM Rational Asset Manager. One of the things we have done is we have made an assumption that you're going to you're using GAP on WSRR and the SOA model library on RAM while writing these configuration files. So if you have modified your GAP for any other things, you need to take these files and adapt them to your environment. There is also a new tutorial on how to configure the Advanced Lifecycle Edition, which you can access with the URL that I've listed there. Okay? Let's move on to next slide, slide number 10, Anonymous SLA. So what is Anonymous SLA? The first bullet is a quote that is taken directly from the Info Center, and it says, anonymous consumers have not previously agreed the levels of service that they can expect. So an anonymous SLA is used to describe the qualities of service to be expected by an anonymous user. What does that mean? So, for example, if you're using data power, when a request comes in to use a particular service to the service provider, that request contains a consumer ID identifying the consumer of the service. So this consumer ID will enable data power to find the service level agreement, which will describe the quality of service that should apply to that particular interaction. So this particular interaction is previously agreed, and it is in the GAP model. So there are policies that are applied to that. What happens if a request comes without a consumer ID? What should data power do? What policies should be applied to that particular interaction? That is what Anonymous SLA is all about. So the Anonymous SLA, which is already defined in the GAP, will attach policies to that request and tells it to use that particular policy. So we have now added a new model called GAP63_Anonymous SLA. For those of you who are wondering why it's called GAP63 but not GAP80, it is because it's an extension of the existing model. We have not generated anything new. We just extended whatever, like, you know, GAP63 is, and we have added to that. Okay? So we have also added a couple of governance policy validators to protect against malicious users. So one is the SOA lifecycle detail rights policy called Anonymous. So you cannot make a capability version a consumer of an Anonymous SLA. If you have an Anonymous SLA on an SLE, since it's already marked as Anonymous, you cannot get a consumer coming in with a capability version and have a relationship with it. Since it will no longer be anonymous, the policy validator will catch that and will cause it to fail. Also in the SLD lifecycle detail writes, there is another policy validator called anonymous. This is the other part of the relationship. You cannot put an SLA on the anonymous relationship that's already in a consuming relationship with a capability version. What does that mean? If you have a capability version that's pointing to an SLA, you cannot point that SLA at an anonymous relationship because it's already in a consumer relationship, thus it cannot be anonymous. Okay? Let's move on to slide number 11 and some of the business space enhancements. Policy management. Now, from within business space, you can create and manage policies and policy attachments. Load documents wizard. Business Space now has a new load document wizard using which you can load documents into WSRR just like you do with WSRR Web UI. And there are a number of new charts have been added for monitoring objects in WSRR. And the development and operation templates, there is a new template for service registry. Okay. And the service consumption visualizer widget. This new widget provides a graphical view of service providers and service consumers. That's basically a very high level of business space enhancements. I have touched only on this on the surface because business space, as you all know, can be like a full 1 hour technical exchange by itself. So, these are the high-level details, and there is much more information on the Info Center on these tabs. And what in the future, we are planning to use another webcast for talk about business space. With that said, let's move on to slide number 12. Okay, here is a quick overview of the installation. But before we go into what installation types or installation options you have available, a couple of things I want to mention that I forgot to put on the slide are the prerequisites. WSRR version 8 now requires installation manager version 1.5.2 or above, and it also prereqs WAS ND 8003. Okay, coming to WAS, WAS version 8 does not have a 32-bit or a 64-bit install. There's only WAS 8. With a choice of whether you can install 32-bit or 64-bit Java SDK. So, the DVD that comes for WSRR is now one per platform. In version 7.5 days, based on like whether you're using 32-bit WAS or 64-bit WAS, we used to have a 32-bit WSRR install or a 64-bit install for each platform. Now there is only one DVD per platform. So if you're on Solaris, you get one DVD, same thing for Linux, AIX, etc. Also, we do not support WAS version 8.5 with WSRR version 8. And DB2 version 9.1 is dropped out of support with WSRR version 8. Also, Darby, which we used to use in version 7.5 and support developer installations, is no longer support. So you cannot use Darby or version 9.1 of DB2. With that said, let's talk about the first type of installation, an evaluation installation. This is basically the same as the typical installation in version 7.5. So we changed the name from typical installation to evaluation installation because the word typical has got many meanings in our dictionary versus most of the customer's dictionary. So it's an evaluation installation, and it's available only on Windows and Linux x86 platforms. So what does this do? It will install a new copy of WAS, Business Space, and WSRR. So you can choose to install DB2 Express Or if you have an existing local DB2 installation, you can use that or create a new local database. One of the main changes with version 8 is the database is created automatically only if you are using DB2. For all other database servers, either the user or the DBA must create an empty database first, because typically most enterprises, the DBAs create the databases. We are no longer doing that for the customers. You have to create it for yourself. So if you use Microsoft SQL Server or Oracle, you have the option to use an existing local database or install WSRR with an empty database that's been created for you by your DBAs. So if you're using a remote database, an empty database has to exist on the remote system, and you can use either DB2 or Microsoft SQL, Oracle, or DB2 for ZOS. And the next installation type is the custom installation. Okay, this is exactly the same as version 7.5. The only difference is there is no longer an option importing WAS into IAM. And if you all are familiar with version 7.5, there is a step after WAS is installed, you have to import that WAS installation into IAM. The reason this is not there is because version 8 of WAS can only be installed using IAM. So there is no, it's all implicit, so there is no explicit step of installing or importing WAS into IAM. And if you're using the silent install, all the response files that are provided with version 8 have been updated with that step. So there is no longer an import tag in the response files. So one of the things that you have to bear in mind is if you're using silent install and you're planning to use the response files from version 7.5, you cannot use them. You have to use version 8 response files and modify whatever you have modified for your version 7.5, basically the profile IDs, etc. Okay? So let's move on to slide number 13. Continuing with the installation overview, there is also an option to install a trial edition. What does the trial edition do? It will install WAS ND 8003, DB2 Express 9704, Business Space version 8, and WSRR version 8. The only thing is, all of these have a 90-day license period. So if you select the trial edition, you will be able to select evaluation installation from the launchpad and can only install a standalone WAS server, okay? Like I said, the trial edition is only available on Windows and Linux Intel platforms. So after 90 days, your licenses will expire, so you can no longer use them. And the trial edition will support all database types. You can upgrade from the trial version to a full version by reinstalling WSRR and use the old database. So once you get a full-blown edition, you can use the old database. The only thing that you need to do is reinstall WSRR with the proper licenses. Okay? Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 14. Okay, in version 8, Business Space now is a deployment prereq. So if you're using version 7.5, what the WSRR installation used to do is it used to invoke all the Business Space actions like creating the database for Business Space, etc. Now the process is exactly the opposite. Business Space scripts will create the WSRR database, and they will install WSRR. So to take into effect, if you're using the silent installation options, the manage profile parameters have been changed so that the scripts have been updated. Just like response files, If you're using the managed profile response files from earlier versions, you cannot use them because there are, like I said, there are a bunch of parameters that have been changed. So one of the main parameters in the response files are the database user ID and database password. If you remember in version 7.5, there used to be the activity logging and SIP parameters in the managed profile response files for creating activity logging and SI bus tables. Now, what you have are a bunch of WSRR parameters in the files. However, you need to modify these only if you want to use and create WSRR tables in a different database than the business space database. If you want both the business space and WSRR databases to be different, you need to modify these parameters. Okay, since business space is responsible for creating the database, obviously business space tables have to be created before WSRR table spaces if you're creating the database manually. Otherwise, what will happen is business space will fail, though WSRR will function normally, okay? And if you're using standalone servers in version 7.5 and version 8.0, business space is always, like, you know, deployed. There is no choice available. There is no option for you to prevent the profile management tool from deploying business space. In version 7.5, there used to be a checkbox for you to say whether you want to deploy the business space or not. However, if you're using the response files, the process has not changed. You still have a variable called configure business space where you can set it to true or false. So you have that option. And if you're deploying business space to ND, the process is the same as before. Okay? Let's move on to slide number 15. Here are some of the database configuration changes. As I mentioned before, business space is the one that is responsible for creating the database, not WSRR. We only support creating a new database for LocalDB2, and there are scripts available for this, okay? And whereas for Microsoft SQL Server, Oracle, or DB2 on ZOS, the database administrator or the user have to create an empty database using the createDB SQL script that is provided. And if you're using Oracle, the schema name must be the same as the database user ID. If you remember, in version 7.0, you could not do that. We have provided this configurable schema names in version 7.5, and now we have taken it back. There is a history behind this, which I don't want to go into detail, but you no longer have configurable schema names. Let's move on to slide number 16. Okay, the profile management tool panels are now updated to reflect all the new database parameters and the database limitations that are described in the previous slides, okay? If you're deploying WSRR onto a network deployment, if you're using a DManager profile, you will need to augment that with the DManager.WSRR profile. And if you're using a managed server, if you want to augment that, you need to use managed.WSRR profile template that's provided. You can also deploy WSRR from the admin console by clicking on the deploy WSRR, which invokes the deploy WSRR plugin. Or you can use the Python scripts that are provided with the product. They're in the product directory, of course. I think that's pretty much about the installation. Let's move on to slide number 17 and talk about migration. Okay, you can migrate or upgrade the content from earlier versions to WSRR version 8.0. When I say earlier versions, you can only migrate from version 6.3 or above. You cannot migrate from version 6.1 or 6.2 directly to version 8.0. Okay? Also, you can migrate from another WSRR version 8 install to your current WSRR installation, basically the, taking the data and putting into your local installation. So what does the migration process do? It will modify your existing content in your WSRR database to fit the new WSRR models. The migration will use the model mapping and upgrade plugins and will upgrade the data. Okay? You can invoke the migration from WSRR Web UI, and unlike previous versions, there is no requirement for you to have a Derby database. If you remember, whenever you used to migrate, we used to create a temporary Derby database, and for any reason, if the migration fails, we used to say, can you please send us the Derby database? So there is no longer the Derby database, and everything is upgraded on the fly. And if you get any errors, which I described a few slides down, you will get the warnings and you'll know exactly where it failed. Let's move on to slide number 18. Okay? So if any customers are running version 6.1 or 6.2 still, and you want to migrate to version 8.0, you have to use the upgrade process to migrate 6.1 or 6.2 to version 6.3, and then migrate from 6.3 to version 8.0, okay? Whereas if you're migrating from 6.3, 7.0, or 7.5, you can use the web UI tool, okay? One of the things is there are a number of performance improvements in the web UI upgrade process, okay? And you can also monitor the progress of your migration and upgrade while you're migrating. You can, there are options available in the web UI to do that. Okay? And you have the ability to select which plugins you want to run and which plugins you don't want to run based on what you have in your WSRR version 7, 6.3, or 7.5 database. Let's move on to slide number 19. Okay, here is a screenshot on how to invoke a migration. Once you log into Web UI, from the configuration perspective of the Web UI, you can select Manage Content option and migrate from an earlier version, if you're migrating from an earlier version. Whereas if you're trying to import data from another version 8 install, you can say select import from another version, another WSRR V8.0. For now, we left it as 8.0x, but this option will be available once the fix packs are introduced. Okay, let's move on to next slide, slide number 20. Setting WSRR to read-only mode during migration. During migration, if you want the existing database contents to be left alone, you can check this checkbox saying mark the content as read-only. What this will do is it will migrate your existing WSRR data and leaves the current database untouched. Okay? Let's move on to slide number 21. All right, here's a screenshot that shows the different options that you have to select before you upgrade your or migrate your WSRR content. First is the WSRR source version. You will select what version that you're migrating from. On the screenshot, I have selected a 7.5. And the next one is the source type, whether you're going to use a database or a JDBC data source, followed by the database type, whether you're using DB2 or DB2 on ZOS, Microsoft SQL Server, or Oracle, okay? And the host name of the database, followed by the port number to connect to. And you will provide the database name, of course, and the schema name, and the database user ID, and database password. Once you enter all the parameters, save the settings, and click Next. What that will do is it will establish a connection to the database and it will verify the connectivity. So that, like, you know, when you say start migration, we will read the contents of the database. If any of these parameters are incorrect, you will get a warning and it will not let you progress further. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 22. All right. Here is the screen where you can select the order of the plugins you want to run. Based on what you have in your enterprise, what plugins you have, you can select the order of the plugins, okay? Like you see on the screen, you have the SCA upgrade correlator, WMQ upgrade, or the WMQ connection upgrade, or the REST upgrade SLD, and the REST upgrade capability version, or service operation correlator, policy document modification, and the extended SLE upgrade plugins. Based on which plugin you want to do it first, move it up and down. Some of the things, if you don't have in your enterprise, leave them unchecked. Okay, let's move on to slide number 23 and talk about the notifiers. Just like the plugins, you can also select what notifiers you have, if you have any notifiers, and you can select them or disable them. Once you select the notification plugins, you can click on the Start Migration button that's there, which will migrate the content of your existing WSRR to version 8.0. Let's go check on the next slide, slide number 24. Once your migration is completed successfully and there are no errors, you will see a screenshot which is very similar to this, which says the import has completed successfully, review the messages. But if there are errors, the same thing, you will get a red message saying errors have occurred during migration. Once you expand, it will list out all the errors. In my case, I did not hit any errors, so it's nice and green. All right, and you have the option to save the migration report, which will save it so that you can see or send us in case of errors. If you encounter any errors, you save the report, send it into support when you open a PMR so that we can review what has gone wrong during the migration process. All right, let's move on to slide number 25. Okay, more details of upgrading plugins. When you are migrating the content from version 6.3 or later versions to WSRR version 8, you can select to run upgrade plugins, which will transform the content, as you have seen on the previous screenshot. It will enhance the content to make use of the new features that have been introduced in version 8.0. And if you are migrating from versions earlier than version 6.3, you need to run your upgrade plugins as part of the transform content operation. And you can run the upgrade plugins from manage content menu of your configuration perspective of the web UI. All right? Moving on to the next slide, slide number 26. If you want to migrate using the command line migration, not the web UI, you will need to run upgrade.bat or upgrade.shell that is in your WSRR upgrade directory. Again, if you're running an earlier version than version 6.3, you will need to run the upgrade tool of version 6.1 or 6.2 before you run the upgrade.bat or shell, and then load the data into version 8. So even though you can use the command line tools, the web UI is the recommended method because you can monitor the progress during the migration, and it will give you, like, options to see what's going on or, like, you know, pause the migration, etc. All right, let's move on to slide number 27. And here are some commands for migration and upgrade for the command line migration. You can use the start upgrade to migrate the contents of an existing WSRR system to a version WSRR 8. And upgrade state, you can find the state of an upgrade, what state it is in, whether it's in an aborted state or you can resume kind of stuff. And upgrade components will list the contents that will be upgraded by the current upgrade. So basically, it will not perform an upgrade, but it will give you a nice list of these are the things that are going to be upgraded. All right? And again, upgrade status will give you the status of your current upgrade. This is the same thing as the progress, but in Web UI, you're given like a nice GUI front end. Here on the command line, you'll see like, you know, what percentage has been completed, etc. And creating the source JDBC data source. So basically, this option will allow you to create a JDBC connection to the database from which you're going to migrate to version 8.0. All right? Let's move on to slide number 29. On this slide, I have listed a bunch of Jackal scripts that are provided for your migration and upgrade. These are there for the command line migration. Okay, you have a start upgrade and a stop upgrade Jackal scripts. So you can start the upgrade or stop the upgrade. And again, like, you know, if you're in the middle of an upgrade, you want to abort for any reason, you can abort the upgrade. And if you want to, like, resume the upgrade once you realize, okay, everything is going on well, let's resume the upgrade, you can select resume upgrade. And you can get upgrade status saying, like, okay, where exactly are we in the upgrade process? Okay? And then the get an upgrade report is basically the same thing as once the upgrade is done, you will have the report of the upgrade or migration. And you have the last three Jackal scripts, which will set read-only, as we saw in the screenshot, to set the content as read-only so that, like, the database contents are not modified, just left alone, and you will have a new version 8 content. And you can unset the read-only option, or you can check whether read-only is set or not by using isReadOnlySet. So basically, that is the end of this presentation. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 30, and do a quick recap of what we have done so far. So in this presentation, I've just introduced you to all the new features that have been introduced in version 8.0, and then ran through the quick installation options that you have, evaluation installation, typical installation, and trial install or custom installation options. Then we discussed the migration and upgrade process from earlier versions. So with that, I will hand over to David for the next few slides before we open the floor for question and answers. Thank you all very much for attending today. David?
Thank you, Kailash, for a great presentation. Slide 30 lists some additional WebSphere product resources that you might find helpful. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject of WSTE Subscribe. You'll receive a list of mailing lists that you can choose to subscribe to. Also, if there is a topic that you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can help, how we can make this program even better. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, Audra, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Currently, there are no questions over the phone.
Thank you, Audra. We do have a couple questions in the group chat. The first one, Kailash, is Data Power required to enforce an SLA policy, or can WSRR alone do the enforcement?
WSRR does the enforcement if it is an anonymous SLA, but I'm not sure if it is not an anonymous SLA. I think, like, you know, we enforce that as well because we have the policy validators.
Okay. And then the second question, WSRR 8.0 business space Can we download WSDLs and SSDs from Business Space?
Prakash, can you explain, like, when you say download WSDLs?
It says import WSDLs.
Oh, import WSDLs.
Yeah.
I need to check and get back to you, Prakash, on that.
Okay. Prakash could send you an email. Your email address is on the first slide of the presentation. Well, I'm not seeing any more questions at this time. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable. We appreciate your participation and hope to see you in future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you again, Kailash, for presenting.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Arjun.
Thank you. Today's call has concluded. Thank you for participating at this time.